1290 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Special Counsel Robert Herr's report on President Biden's handling of classified documents has now been transmitted to Congress. That according to congressional sources familiar with the matter. It is one of the final steps before the report is made public. The Supreme Court heard arguments today on Colorado's ruling to ban Donald Trump from appearing on the state's primary ballot due to a 14th Amendment clause banning anyone from holding public office if they have engaged in an insurrection. ABC's Terry Moran says justices raised questions about Colorado making a decision that impacts a national election.
The justices will now have to decide. It looks like there's a strong majority, perhaps even a unanimous court, that will keep Donald Trump on the ballot in Colorado and write it in such a way that this 14th Amendment issue will be laid to rest
in this way. In California, days of torrential rain leading to flooding and mudslides. More severe storms on tap this week. This is ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is cracking down on odometer rollbacks and title fraud. The Department of Motor Vehicles says it revoked the licenses of 32 wholesale vehicle dealer licenses in the last 2 months. Two dealers rolled back more than 6 million miles on about 64 vehicles. The agency says the problem is bad actors among Wisconsin's wholesale car dealers. President Biden and Donald Trump are tied in Wisconsin in the latest Marquette University Law School poll.
49-49 with registered voters, 50 for Trump, 49 for Biden with likely voters. When we add in third-party votes, it stretches to a three-point Trump lead.
Poll director Charles Franklin on the Devil's Advocate show on Civic Media. The election is 9 months away. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
A school administrator was reinstated after being placed on leave for the past few weeks. Derek Fugslang, Stoddard Elementary's principal and Phi Ed teacher, was put on leave last month for violating policy and procedure and bringing complaints about the district administrator directly to the DeSoto School Board. The district superintendent accused Fugslang of harassment for citing her age and health and questioning her ability to do her job. The school board reinstated Fugslang, but decided not to renew his contract for next year, citing budget concerns. A large crowd turned out for the meeting in support of Fugslang, but public comment wasn't allowed. The district is holding a referendum this spring to help fund school operations. A La Crosse man convicted of possessing and selling meth was sentenced to 5 years in federal prison. 43-year-old Alfredo Almanza pleaded guilty to the charges last October. Investigators tracked sales of meth back to Almanza and found meth at his home, as well as messages on his cell phone setting up drug deals. The judge cited prior convictions in sentencing.
For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Wisconsin loses at Michigan. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers losing 72-68 to a struggling Michigan Wolverine program. They were able to snap a five-game losing streak. The Badgers head to Rutgers Saturday. Number 7th-ranked Marquette getting ready to host St. John's on Saturday. The Golden Eagles have now won six in a row. Baseball. The Brewers adding players after trading pitcher Corbin Burns to the Orioles. They've signed Jacob Junis from the Giants to a one-year deal. And they've also added catcher Gary Sanchez from the Padres to a one-year contract worth $7 million. NFL, the Chiefs getting ready for the Super Bowl, but since Las Vegas is the host city, they have to borrow the facilities of their rival, the Raiders. Andy Reid says everything is just fine.
It's great conditions to prepare for this game. I think our guys have been focused in up to this point, so the facilities are great.
That's Chiefs head coach Andy Reid. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Record warmth today as highs soar into the mid to upper 50s, thanks to strong winds gusting out of the south up to 35 miles per hour. We'll see pockets of sunshine, cloudy skies, scattered showers, and even a chance of thunderstorms later this afternoon and into the evening. Currently, it's 57.
It's a unique opportunity to ask your questions during the Earl Ingram Show on Friday, February 9th.
The United States Senator Ron Johnson is going to be joining us here in the studio. He's going to spend an hour as we have some open dialogue. Phone lines are going to be open. We'll take some phone calls.
Join Earl and U.S. Senator Ron Johnson Friday, February 9th. The Earl Ingram Show, mornings from 8 to 10, here on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is the talk you can't ignore, even if you tried.
Why is everyone ignoring me?
Find out why all of lacrosse is talking about Eagle 1490.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the wonderful, fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board and taking your phone calls. Welcome into hour number three of the show. It is six now past the hour of 2 o'clock. Glad to have you along on this Thursday, February 8th, 2024. And, before we move on to a new topic this hour, Mr. Zommers, I wanted to just finish up and again thank Keegan Kelly from Cracked.com. Great guy. Always brings us interesting information, particularly the world of television and film and music. But he was talking about this article he wrote that South Park fans, a TV show has been on since, I didn't realize, 1997, Keegan said. It's an animated show. It's an adult cartoon, I guess you'd say, that over the years has offended folks, particularly on the subject of religion at times, trying to drive home a point. And of course, the creators of South Park wrote this great Broadway musical called Book of Mormon, where, yes, it makes fun of Mormonism, certainly, but it's also just kind of putting into question, saying, look, shouldn't we all question kind of organized religion? And instead of taking every single thing literally, shouldn't we look at it in the larger context of just treating each other well and, right, and trying to work together? And it's written fantastically funny. I mean, yes, it's to some people, I can see how it would be offensive. There's some pretty rough language in parts of it. But if you open your mind to the point they're trying to make, it's actually a very good point.
I think especially with Book of Mormon, I think because they don't have a whole show, I think they, I mean, again, I haven't seen the whole thing, but from what I'm aware of it, it seems like it straddles that line to for a more mainstream audience, and it is less potentially offensive than South Park as a whole.
I think probably taken as a whole, I think you're probably right about that. But Keegan Kelly was saying that the South Park generation now, some of these folks are offended because the current iteration of the South Park TV show is kind of taking aim at some of the things that maybe the South Park audience believes in. And so Keegan Kelly was, you know, raising the question in this article, are people just too easily offended? We're going to go to the phone lines. David called in from Mequon just before we had to go to the news at the top of the hour and was so kind as to hold over. David, appreciate you holding over. Wanted to get your take on this in terms of, do you think people are too easily offended today?
I think they are. I really do. So you had your guest, Mr. Kelly, on, and he was talking about Andrew Dice Clay. I'm not a huge big Andrew Dice Clay fan, and I think it's the way he kind of just did his whole shtick, as they would say. But in comparison, now Sebastian Maniscalco, who's Italian and he's married to a Jewish lady, he brings up a lot of controversial subjects, but he is hilarious. And if you look at George Carlin, you know, he was a genius, but he would bring in a lot of things that I think would be like, oh my God, you know, like, what is he, how can he do it? Or Richard Pryor, or even Eddie Murphy back in his heyday. And so sometimes, you know what, the biggest thing I would say, Todd, is this. So I would tell Mr. Kelly is this, is that you don't have to go to the show. That's number one. You don't have to purchase it on TV. You don't have to purchase it. If you don't like it, don't attend it. Don't, you know, in other words, you have that option of supporting that individual versus not supporting that individual. And it's important that people understand it. Yeah. Are there going to be some things that might be a little bit off color, a little bit maybe offensive? Yeah. And I, as a Jewish person, you know, I can make fun of myself. I mean, we there's certain stereotypes and things that people like to talk about. And I think we have to look at the bigger picture that, you know, as if you can have a laugh and poke fun at yourself, that is huge, because we are, it's like we're almost all the time angry at one another. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, we have to look at it from a standpoint that, you know what, sometimes you just got to step back and just say, okay, you know what, the heck with it. Just let it rip. If you don't like it, you don't like it. If you like it, you like it. So,
David, I really always appreciate your calls. And this one in particular, I appreciate you sharing that you happen to be of the Jewish faith. I have several friends. My close friends are Jewish as well. I want to go back to that in a second, but I just want to bring up, you know, one of the things that Keegan Kelly, our last guest, has talked about before, and he mentioned it briefly today, was, you know, it's just the low-hanging fruit. When a comedian punches down, in other words, making fun of the lesser than people rather than making fun of the people that are higher up the food chain. And I think that, to me, is the difference, right? I think for to make fun of, you know, gay people or Jewish people, stereotypes or whatever, that's really low-hanging fruit that, you know, can get the quote-unquote easy laugh. I think it's harder to write comedy where you're punching up and making fun of people who are kind of, you know, on the top, so to speak. But I want to go back to this thing, because I'm interested for you saying, as a Jewish person, one of my favorite Seinfeld episodes is when Jerry's dentist converts to Judaism and then just automatically starts making Jewish jokes because, oh, well, now I'm Jewish, I can make Jewish jokes. What, as a person of the Jewish faith, what are your feelings on that?
I think, you know, listen, actually, I used to think Jerry Seinfeld was very funny as a comedian, but I noticed I went to a couple of shows and he's regurgitating the same jokes. I'm like, what the heck? Like, he's not coming up with new material. but at the end of the day, you know, I think, you know, when he had his show on there, yeah, I used to watch it because I thought, it was kind of, he was very dry in his delivery, and there were some things, yes, I thought it was very funny. It kind of just, it's an outlet for people. It's right. Just to take that little way, and you laugh a little bit, and you already just pointed out, so obviously that had a, you know, you remember that specific episode, and the reason being because, you know, that obviously was like, in your mind, I'm assuming it was kind of funny. Well, and I do think, again, you know, I think you just have to look at it, the bigger picture, that, you know, I don't have a problem with that whatsoever.
I think what was funny to me was that the butt of the joke or the whole bit was that this white dude who, like, converted to Judaism yesterday, all of a sudden now thinks it's okay to make these Jewish jokes. And it's like, really, are you that stupid, you know, white dentist person who just, I mean, you can't just do that because you want to do, you know, do jokes. I mean, that's the part that was kind of like All in the Family. If you're of a certain age, you remember that. I mean, Archie Bunker said some terribly bigoted racist things on that show, but the point of the writing was always to make Archie representative of the bigots and the racists in America and make them the butt of the joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, like I said, I look at it from the standpoint that you also have to look at the time period. Things
exactly.
Obviously change with crime.
I agree 100%.
And you have to take that. You have to take that in context as well.
You can't look at everything through the lens of 2024 from something that was 20, 30, 40 years old.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, again, if it offends somebody, then you don't watch it. You don't, flick, you know, change the channel to something else or do something else instead, right. You know. And I think at the end of the day, you know, we have choices. And that's the beautiful thing about our country that we live in, that you have choices, you have options. It shouldn't be all monolithic.
Yeah.
Because once you do all monolithic, then you're kind of like, okay, then where are we at in that sense, you know?
Yep. Always a great call, David. Thanks for listening to us over there at beautiful Mequon. Have a wonderful day, David in Mequon. If you want to weigh in, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Now, this third hour of the Todd Allball Show. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. You can download it on your iPhone or Android device. Just go type in your search bar, Civic, C-I-V-I-C. Civic Media. It'll pop up, a little C and an M created by our wonderful graphics person, Rebecca. You click on that, and then bada bing, bada boom, less than a minute later, it'll be downloaded. It is free, won't cost you a dime. It's what Gail King at CBS News calls a deal. Speaking of CBS News, breaking news at this hour, special counsel finds President Biden's handling of classified documents does not warrant criminal charges. According to CBS News, Special Counsel Robert Hur issued his report on President Biden's handling of classified documents from his time as vice president, finding that no criminal charges were warranted. The special counsel said he would have reached the same conclusion even if the Justice Department did not foreclose charges against a sitting president. Quote, "We conclude that the evidence does not establish Mr. Biden's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt," the report says. "Prosecution of Mr. Biden is also unwarranted based on our consideration of the aggravating and mitigating factors," unquote. But Hur's report nonetheless contained significant criticism of Mr. Biden and his handling of the classified information. Quote, "Our investigation uncovered evidence that President Biden willfully retained and disclosed classified material after his vice presidency when he was a private citizen," the report said. The special counsel's 345-page report offers a detailed picture of Mr. Biden's final days as vice president and the years that followed. Classified documents that should have been sent to the National Archives and Records Administration instead ended up in the various locations, including his homes and offices. Investigators conducted 173 interviews of 147 witnesses, including the president himself. They collected over 7 million documents from both classified and unclassified sources. There were documents marked classified regarding military and foreign policy in Afghanistan and notebooks containing Mr. Biden's entries about national security and foreign policy matters. Quote, "implicating sensitive intelligence sources and methods," unquote, according to the report. The special counsel said Biden's conduct, quote, "presented serious risks to national security given the vulnerability of extraordinarily sensitive information to loss or compromise to Americans' adversaries. But addressing those risks when pursuing criminal charges, the only means available to this office, is not the proper remedy here." During Mr. Biden's 8 years as vice president, the prosecutor noted, some of which were, quote, "related to classified subjects, including the president's daily briefing and national security meetings," the report says. We'll come back and talk about this more on the other side. Look, every president virtually is to a degree guilty of this. The difference comes down to, how long did you willfully hold on to things, and did you cooperate when asked? Come back and talk about it on the other side. 844-967-2789 is the Todd Allball Show, the hour number three for a Thursday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Valentine's Day is here. This year, give the ultimate gift. Name a star after your sweetheart. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For 45 years, we've named millions of stars for celebrities, dignitaries, and individuals worldwide. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can give the most memorable gift. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jam from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jam.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people don't say, oh, man, she's a Republican, she's a Democrat, she's a whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to hour number 3 of the Todd Allbowl Show for a Thursday, February 8th, 20 now past the hour of 2 o'clock. Mr. Aaron Zommer is on the board taking your phone calls. As always, the phone lines are open, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Kind of following a couple of different things here. First of all, still cleaning up some calls from our last guest in the last hour, Keegan Kelly from Crack.com, on whether or not people get too offended by current comedy or television shows, and also following this breaking news that special counsel saying they will not charge current President Joe Biden with withholding classified documents. Going to delve into that, the difference between Biden and Trump in a minute. But first of all, I want to pick up on the last hour comments about being offended in comedy. We go to Matt in Middleton, listening here on WMDX in Madison. Matt from Middleton, thanks for holding. What's he?
Hey, Todd. I just want to bring up quick about the offense. And the only thing that makes me nervous nowadays and uncomfortable is the silencing of certain speech and the freedom of creative people to use their imagination freely in the way they like.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm referring to people on the left that kind of think that, like, say, Stephen King, who's a white man and writes a story and he wants to write about a person of color. There's people who say that he can't really do that now because it's cultural appropriation or this and that. And a lot of comedians now feel like they can't write jokes freely either because people will react to certain kind of social norms that have changed and whatnot. And I just don't like the totalitarian aspect of things where people try to tell people what to think and say and tell them they can't think and say certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to see what you think about that and if you agree.
Sure. No, I appreciate
Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Matt. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for bringing it up. I'm one person, right? And by and large, I kind of have a libertarian type of view on this. I've kind of long been of the belief, look, I mean, people should be free to put stuff out there, right? Under the First Amendment, especially. If you want to create something that I find offensive, that's your right to free speech. Now, I don't have to purchase it or watch it or look at it or listen to it, but you have the right to put it out there. I do think that there are certain parameters, like I said before, punching down. I mean, writing blatantly racial, bigoted, homophobic, xenophobic stuff, I find that offensive. And I think particularly for young people in the marginalized groups, that can become very hurtful. Now, does someone have the right to produce that? Yeah, I guess they do. But I do think that in that case, there should be limits on who can access that.
I think as a Gen Zer who has an older sister who's a millennial, so I grew up kind of in the middle of the two. The way I view it, I used to think like, oh, people shouldn't tell me what to think. Mm. Like if I want to make this joke or if this person wants to make this joke, whatever. And then I think being exposed to more different people has taught me that the truth is somewhere in the middle, as it is with a lot of things. And ultimately, the way I approach stuff like this is if you are presenting something to a wider audience, you should think about it. You should take a moment and think, how is this going to come off to different
people? Especially if you want to make
money. Yeah, yeah, right? For sure.
If you want to profit off of it, be as large an audience as possible, but go on.
But yeah, if you're making a joke that could be offensive to somebody, think about what it might sound like to that person. And if you think, oh, I think they'll think it's funny, great, go ahead. As long as it's not, you know, like you said, blatantly just racist to be racist. However, the important thing besides thinking about it and doing it with intent is being open to criticism, that if you receive feedback from, let's say you make jokes about a religion and people from that religion contact you, you have to use your discretion to think, oh, are they mad because they're part of the establishment and like the business side of the religion? Or are they mad because this actually like is hurtful to people with those beliefs? So really, it just comes down to be thoughtful and be willing to listen to other people who might know more than you.
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. The other major breaking story we're following at this hour, special counsel Robert Hur has said that Joe Biden will not face criminal charges over withholding of classified documents. Counsel Hur noted in his report that there were distinctions between Donald Trump and Joe Biden's classified document cases. Among them is the fact that the National Archives repeatedly tried and failed to get back documents in Trump's possession. At one point, the FBI secured a search warrant to search his Florida estate. Remember that, Mar-a-Lago? Biden's attorneys, on the other hand, noted that the National Archives of the materials found in his possession. Those documents were discovered on November 2nd, just 6 days before the midterm elections. But the president's attorney only publicly acknowledged the discovery of the documents on November 7th when the news reports about the discovery broke. So the biggest difference here, the contrast is that Biden turned over the documents when was asked by the National Archives and Department of Justice and consented to multiple locations being searched, including his home, voluntarily, sat for an interview, voluntarily. It all comes down, right? It's never the crime. It's the cover-up that gets you. And again, in this case, it turned out not to be a crime in Biden's case either. But you get the point. If Trump had just cooperated, he may not be facing all these indictments. 844-967-2789. Dick in Madison. Dick, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Well, we'll never know the way this is moving as far as getting Jack Smith to move forward with this Trump situation. But right away, there was this ageism brought into it. An elderly man, when I saw it on even on MSNBC, well, shortly, you know, before, you know, 2 o'clock or whatever it was. But the other thing that just cracks me up about all this, let's review how Trump went about it, just like you said, and how he went about other things in the past. For instance, the Mueller report. We'll make sure my attorney general gets his mitts on it, redacts half of it, and tries to turn into something. I firmly believe if that Mueller report would have been left alone, he would have been impeached and thrown out of office. We'll never know. But then you take Biden, totally, like you said, cooperates. And not only that, they redacted nothing from this report. Right. And the guy also is a Trump appointee, her.
Right.
So as far as I'm concerned, they can go lay by their bowl when they start coming with all this stuff. And you know they will.
Right. I appreciate the call, Dick. Thank you so much. 844-967-2789. Let's go to CJ in Stoughton. CJ, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Well, thank you for taking my call, because I would like to speak about that, but I've been on hold for over an hour and a half. So I would like to speak to you about the Supreme Court, if I could, because a big win for democracy. You know what? It pretty much, if it isn't 9-0 at the Supreme Court, I'll be totally shocked, because the case was presented. There's only one party that's fighting to keep the border safe. There's only, and fighting in court to not allow Texas to secure the country.
Okay, well, time out, CJ. The conservative Republicans are criticizing the Republican Party for failing on border security. So I just wanted to do a fact check on that one. We'll come back. We have Stephen from Green Bay. More calls on the other side. Do not go anywhere. This is the third hour of the Todd Allball Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
...300 excited FFA supporters got together in Green Bay over the weekend. Their goal? Continuing to grow Wisconsin FFA. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. The Wisconsin FFA Alumni Convention was held up in Green Bay. More than 300 members that were part of the activities, including Tom Bressler. He's the immediate past president of the Wisconsin FFA Foundation. That's the funding mechanism for a lot of the growth that we're seeing in Wisconsin. And Bressler says, well, it's exciting. It's also challenging.
The neat thing is, in the FFA, it's all growth. We're getting more students, we're getting more excitement, the ag community is getting bigger and broader, but for the FFA Foundation, that means we need to do more and we need to raise more, because there's a lot more, not only to support the things that have already grown, but to promote more growth coming on. It's exciting, it's challenging, sometimes it's frustrating, because why aren't we getting more support out here? But it's exciting. That's the number one message, is this thing is getting bigger and bigger.
Tom Bressler, immediate past president of the Wisconsin FFA Foundation, one of the major funding mechanisms for FFA activities in the state. In 2022, the FFA Foundation raised more than $370,000 in support of FFA activities. Coming up in a moment, the FFA alumni elect some new officer members. I've got the details on the way.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up seed treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up seed treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
We know you work hard every day to keep your livestock healthy and run an efficient operation, because there's no such thing as a snow day. Take time this winter and consider BioVet, your trusted partner in helping you raise stronger, healthier animals and to protect your bottom line. The knowledge and support from our team can help you make the difference in keeping your livestock healthy. Call 1-800-BioVet1 or visit bio-vet.com. Innovation.
During the Wisconsin FFA Alumni Convention in Green Bay, they selected their new officer team, which involves Grant Stajic from Bondwell as president, Nick Lowe from Stoughton as president-elect, vice president is Chris Blank from the Cashton FFA. They also recognize Bobby Joe Montgomery from Waupaca as the immediate past president. Want to find out more about the Wisconsin FFA Alumni Convention? Pop on over to our website, MidwestFarmReport.com. You'll get a chance to see all the state chapter awards that were presented as well. I'm Pam Yonke.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Record warmth today as highs soar into the mid to upper 50s, thanks to strong winds gusting out of the south up to 35 miles per hour. We'll see pockets of sunshine, cloudy skies, scattered showers, and even a chance of thunderstorms later this afternoon and into the evening. Currently, it's 57.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. The way I joke about it is I'm probably not doing my job right if somebody's not ticked off at me most of the time.
The only way you can do it is if you have that steadfast commitment to doing justice. That tension's built into it, and that's quite frankly what makes the job just so phenomenal and exciting and fun.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Weeknights at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Talk about lacrosse in Wisconsin.
Without the yelling and screaming.
These are real conversations about things that affect you. This is Eagle 1490.
pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to hour number three of the Town Hall Ball Show for a Thursday, February 8th, 2024, 34 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock. Aaron Zommer's on the board taking your phone calls, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Feel free to text us on the Civic Media app as well. Available on your Android or Apple device. Talking about this breaking news, special counsel Robert Hur. And by the way, remember this, an important point. Special counsel Hur is a Trump appointee. All right? This guy was appointed by Trump, has found that there are no warranted charges to be had against current president President Joe Biden. Been a long day. Special Counsel Robert Hur's report on the Biden classified documents case being released this afternoon, about a half an hour ago. A couple of noteworthy portions that Hur, a Trump appointee, said, quote, "We conclude that no criminal charges are warranted in this matter. We would reach the same conclusion even if Department of Justice policy did not foreclose criminal charges against a sitting president. Most notably, after being given multiple chances to return classified documents and avoid prosecution, Mr. Trump allegedly did the opposite. According to the indictment, he not only refused to return the documents for many months, but he also obstructed justice by enlisting others to destroy evidence and then to lie about it. In contrast," Special Prosecutor Hur wrote, "Mr. Biden turned in classified documents to the National Archives of the Department of Justice, consented to the search of multiple locations, including his homes, sat for a voluntary interview, and in other ways, cooperated with the investigation," unquote. Those are the words of Trump-appointed special counsel Robert Hur. In other words, to quote Judge Weissman, just tell the truth. Just tell the truth. Always easier. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go up to Green Bay. Stephen in Green Bay, thanks for calling. What say you?
I just have a couple statements and then a question.
Sure.
First statement is, I'm on a top secret mission right now. I'm in downtown Green Bay and I'm looking out for the traffic cops. So if I go in and out, that's what's going on.
I understand.
With that being said, it's almost like, you know, cooperating with the police is in your best interest, and that, you know, trying to hide things and lie to officials doesn't really help you when you're trying to prove yourself to not be guilty to a crime. Mm. With that being said, and I don't know how much you can dive into this because this kind of sounds like a top secret, but is Matt Flynn show gone? And if it is, what's replacing it?
Stephen, I appreciate the comments. We've addressed it in last week, and we're moving on, and you know, more news in this time slot to come from Civic Media. But I appreciate your comments. Stick, you have to stick right now to the topic at hand, and that is what's going on with the news that Special Counsel Robert Hur found that Joe Biden will not face criminal charges in withholding of documents, mainly because when asked, he gave them back. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to Jack in Merrimack. Jack, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Well, first of all, I can already see the false equivalencies being thrown about. Trump did the same thing, and they're unfairly putting him up for criminal charges. And, of course, that's not true, but I can see this happening. There's no doubt that that's what you'll see. They're gonna yell unequal justice. They're darn right. There's unequal justice. Anybody else that had done half the stuff that Trump had done would be in jail by now. But it's pretty clear that first of all, presidents, vice presidents, I don't know how many documents they get. And on what percentages are classified, but
they've got to be, you know, thousands and thousands of documents. Misplacing a few or even a few dozen,
right.
You take them home to look at them. You go to another office location to look at them, and you happen to leave them there by accident. And as you pointed out, and this needs to be pointed out again and again, that Biden very clearly cooperated every bit of the way. And in fact, with all of the stuff that's gone on with Congress and such, Biden has done his best to cooperate and try to work with the Republicans on stuff like, not just like this, but the border situation and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
How anyone in their right mind can even consider voting for Trump, I have never heard of someone being charged with 91 felonies in four different indictments and not being convicted on any of them. But it's probably going to be after the presidential election before that happens.
Hey, Jack, I got a question for you. So the Super Bowl is coming up this weekend. And of course, you know, I saw a story this morning. There's like over $1 billion, maybe billions, plural, that people make bets on all kinds of things, not just the game and the spread. But I mean, you know, will Travis Kelce propose to Taylor Swift at the end? Will Taylor Swift, you know, join Usher in the halftime show? You could get bets in Vegas right now on all this stuff. I'm telling you, I'm telling Jack, I would take your bet, or no, you're not giving a bet, but I would bet that there's a greater chance that Trump is going to get indicted on at least, or found guilty on at least one of those 91 indictments. That's a better bet than anything you're going to bet on in the Super Bowl this weekend. Yes or no?
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one. The problem being, of course, that he's likely to get out of it for a bunch of different reasons. Until that guy's actually in jail, I don't think I'll believe it when I see it. Let's put it like that.
Yeah.
And regarding the Super Bowl and Taylor Swift, I love that ad that you guys have on. She made it to the Super Bowl as right. a rookie, and if the Chiefs win, you can be sure she's going to get a ring. I love it.
That's our friend and colleague Pat Kreitlow from Up North News every morning from 6 to 8. Yeah, that was a great line by Pat. And I've said this show before. Look, I'm a Swift Taylor Swift fan. I think it's great. We pointed out that you know, in a football game, a 3-hour football game or whatever, like only an hour is actually football, and of that, 24 seconds is about the amount of airtime that Taylor Swift gets. I think it's great for football. I think the ratings are going to be through the roof. I think it's fantastic. And people who have nothing better to do with their lives, you know, predominantly old, white, straight men attacking Taylor Swift. I mean, get a life, dudes. You know?
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
Always appreciate the call, my friend. Thank you so much. Have a great day up there in beautiful Merrimack. I should have asked Jack if the ferry is still going up there. Beautiful Merrimack Ferry. It's a great ride. So anyway.
I think I've been on that.
Have you?
Yeah. Is that the one you... It's pretty small, but you can drive on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
you can ride or drive or walk. So, yeah, Jack and Merrimack. Always a pleasure, Jack. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Well, Jack brought up a lot of things. I think the biggest thing there, a couple of things, actually. Number one, as I said before, look, it doesn't matter whether it's George W. Bush or Bill Clinton or I think, I know George W. Bush for sure, but I think even Obama. Basically, every president at some point or another, to Jack's point, because they have offices. Once they leave office, they just box everything up. And do you think that these people, these presidents, are doing their own packing? No, they are not. And so what happens is their staff just takes all these files and puts them in boxes, and they take it to either the presidential library that they're building, or, I mean, obviously, when they first leave office, there is no presidential library yet. So it gets taken to a private office wherever the outgoing president is going to work from and or their homes. And so inevitably, it would be nearly impossible to think that there are zero classified documents in these boxes as a mistake.
But you ever filled out a tax form or insurance paperwork or everything? Imagine if everything you do all day, and you're one of the busiest people on the planet, is written down like that in tons and tons of paperwork, and you can never misplace a single piece.
Right. It happens. And so the point here is not that Trump or Biden or anyone else had classified documents. There are two things. The difference is the level of classification of documents that they had, and did they cooperate when asked to give them back? I think in Bush and Obama's case, they actually found them, or their staff did, and proactively reached out and said, hey, look, we were opening up some boxes here, and we realized we've got some stuff we should have left behind. How do we get this back to you?
And that's what happened with at least some of Biden's stuff, too.
Right.
Like, I remember in the office, some aide was opening up, and I was like, we're not supposed to have this. Let me contact the Library of Congress.
And now, according to Special Counsel Robert Hur, a Trump-appointed counsel, he's saying that the big difference here is that when asked, Biden willfully opened up any property or office they wanted to search, voluntarily sat down for an interview, worked with them, and made sure all the documents got back. There was no malfeasance here. There was no intent to mislead, according to Special Counsel Hur, the Trump appointee. Hur points out the difference, allegedly, because the case is still pending in court. The difference here is that not only did Trump withhold a higher level of secret document, but he knowingly did so. And when asked to give them back and return them, he not only said no, he and others around him allegedly tried to impede the return of said documents. Again, it's not the crime or the alleged crime that does people in. It's the cover-up and the denial. Just tell the truth. Heck of a lot easier that way. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Jack Hurtis, Jack of Merrimack, says, just FYI, the last time I went by, the Merrimack Ferry was closed. See? News you can use right here on the All Ball Show, hour number three. So far, the Merrimack Ferry, according to Jack from Merrimack, still closed.
I imagine they weren't planning on being able to operate so soon in the year, in February.
All right, exactly. Also, Andrew from Maine, listening in on WAUK, says, don't forget about Pence. Yes, if memory serves, correct me if I'm wrong, but again, when Pence was asked, he also cooperated. Great point. Andrew from Maine. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. By the way, we don't hear a lot from Mike Pence anymore. He's kind of gone away. I mean, he's been rejected by the MAGA folks, So anyway, so here we go. This is a great way to end the show today. Because when I first saw this, I'm like, this can't be right, right? No, it is. This is a real thing. Headline from CNN Travel, all right, says airline starts weighing passengers at the gate. Can you imagine this? The article says, we all know what it's like to have our baggage weighed at an airport check-in. Most of us are also familiar with the crouch of shame, the position adopted when rummaging through a bag to remove something heavy when you've been informed your bag is just overweight. I've been there. You ever had that happen to you?
I have not, but I also have only flown like twice.
Oh, so. Really? Yeah, I've flown quite a bit. And it's just you take the bag in and they're like, I'm sorry, you're 5 pounds overweight. You have to get rid of something. And then you're like, I have to crouch down, open up my checked bag. Then I have to put it in a carry-on, or you have to leave something behind. Now, we may be weighed. People at the gate. Is this where we want to go? More on the other side. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Thursday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it?
I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915 and thousands are there to celebrate. 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of Black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The Black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 3 o'clock. That is 10 minutes away from the top of the hour national and state news. Our news director, Terry Bell, and his team will update you on everything happening around the state and in your region of the state immediately following the national headlines. A check of weather with Brittany Merlot and our other fine people of our news team. And more for you on the Civic Media Radio Network as the afternoon goes on. Right now, though, we are talking about this story in CNN. And the question is, would you voluntarily consent to be weighed at the gate? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, or check in on the Civic Media app.
I think I'd want to know why. I'd want to know, right? Are they weighing you for the same reason they're weighing their bags? Just to make sure, you know, nothing's too heavy? Because then I'm like, what? If your plane can't handle whether or not I weigh 240 or 250 pounds or whatever, I don't want to fly on it. And if they're just trying to collect data or something, like weird demographic data, I'd be like, why do you need to know how much your passengers weigh?
Let me explain. So now, according to this story in CNN, some brave airline passengers are consenting to being weighed themselves before boarding the plane. In a trial by European carrier Finnair, F-I-N-N Air, Finnair. It just appeared out of Finnair. Thank you very much. I'll be here for the next 3 weeks playing Vegas. Anyway, Finnair. At its Helsinki airport hub. Have you ever been to Helsinki?
Nope.
I would love to go. At its Helsinki airport and hub, Finnair, volunteer passengers are being weighed at the departure gate in order to allow the airline to refine weight estimates for planes before takeoff. And in a nightmare scenario, for anyone who's ever tried to nonchalantly sneak in overweight cabin bag onto the plane, passengers are being weighed together with their carry-on bags. Luckily, for anyone carrying a bulging bag, the weigh-ins are not linked to individual bookings or passenger data. Everything is anonymous, or so they say. Finnair's senior vice president of communications said with only the member of staff at the gate seeing the weight. Well, that's good. So I mean, they don't put this on a big screen in the weigh-in area. Oh, here's Mr. Allball. He's checking in at 172 pounds. The trial started this Monday, and by today, 800 volunteers had already taken part, according to Finnair, adding that the airline was, quote, positively surprised by the number of volunteers, unquote. We have communicated about this survey to Finnair customers via our social media channels and our mobile app, and the first volunteers were proactively asking to take part even before the equipment was set up. They planned to weigh 1,200 passengers for the winter season and more for the summer. The spokesperson said that the airline is collecting data about the average weight of passengers and their hand luggage. Quote, for the purpose of aircraft balance and performance calculations that are needed for the safe operation of flight. Now, here's something that's interesting. I've said this before, you know, it's quicker to Chicago than by train. Well, as it turns out, people are heavier in the winter than in the summer. Airlines calculate planes' weight, the weight of everyone on board, as well as cargo and the baggage in the hold, and things like catering and water tanks on board, etc., before each takeoff, along with their center of gravity. The weight and the trim of an aircraft can affect where passengers can sit, and in some cases, even how many passengers are allowed on board and how much luggage could go in the hold. Each aircraft that we fly in has a set maximum for weight at takeoff. All right. Airlines generally use average passenger weights provided by the European Aviation Safety Authority, but they can also use their own. I did not know that. They can take their own measurements, apparently. Now, Korean Air conducted its own weigh-in program in 2023, while New Zealand Air did a weight survey last year. Finnair, I love this name, by the way, Finnair. The plane just appeared out of thin air. Finnair is calculating data for both winter and summer seasons. Since passengers tend to weigh heavier and wear heavier clothing and coats during the cold Finnish winters, the winter readings will be compiled this month, with the summer ones to take place between April and May. The airlines will calculate an average weight from the measurements taken and will send the calculations to the Finnish Transport and Communication Agency. This is to your point, Mr. Zommers, it gives me a little pause to think, well, haven't they got this figured out before we get on the plane? But also, and this is real, if you look at, and by the way, I'm going this weekend with our friend, Mr. Klug, down to Fiserv Forum. I have not been there yet since it was built.
Me either.
But I know in building new stadiums for universities, for pro sports, they are making the seats wider because Americans have gotten heavier, have gotten bigger. So it would make sense. It's one thing to screw up on a seat, right? At AmFam Field. Well, I'm a little uncomfortable because, you know, the seat's small. Well, you ain't going to die from a small seat at AmFam Field. But if the calculations are wrong on the plane, that could be a big problem. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, off the text line on the Civic Media app, WMDX here in Madison. This listener says, quote, years ago, I flew to, was it Molokai in Hawaii?
Probably.
I'm sorry, my Hawaiian is not great. Anyway, I flew to Hawaii on a small plane. They had to balance the aircraft physics. I know I have heard of that happening on smaller aircrafts. I've been, like, they used to have those puddle jumpers from Madison to Chicago. I was one time asked to move, like, to weigh out the weight on the from the front to the back. That kind of scared me. Also, the same person from WMDX, when they went to Hawaii, we were weighed and then assigned seats.
And that is Carol in Madison.
All right, very good. See, now that's very interesting. And yes, in a small puddle jumper, I can see that. But for a large airline, well, sometimes things just appear out of thin air. Great show today. Appreciate Keegan Kelly on. All Mr. Zommers doing yeoman's work. And all of you listening, we appreciate you all. Don't forget, we'll be back tomorrow from noon until 3. Whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Brady Ewing tomorrow. Keep banging your drum.
Banging on your drum, and they will hear you.
Broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, with everything lacrosse is talking about. You're soaring with Eagle 1490. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
If you only have a 401k, you're not getting the most for retirement.
Wait, what?
Add a Robinhood IRA on top, then they'll boost it by 3%.
You can do that?
And if you transfer in any retirement account, you get 3% on top of that.
Is there a limit to the match?
No limit. Robinhood Gold gets you the biggest contribution match of any IRA on the market. Sign up for Robinhood Gold at Robinhood.com/boost by April 30th. Subscription fees apply.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires gold for 1 year from first match. Must keep IRA for 5 years. Match on transfers subject to additional terms and conditions. Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIPC.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report.